2 Corinthians chapter 4. This morning we'll look at, I won't keep you too long, of course I always say that, three things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read verses 1 through 18 to get our context, and then we'll look at God's compelling glory for you and I today. God's compelling glory. But if you found your place, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that in the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the day you have made. And Father, we have brought our prayer petition before you. We have sang our songs of your praise and your glory and the work that you have finished. And Father, the work that you've done in our hearts. And Father, we have brought the sick. Father, we have brought those that need your help, your healing hand. And Father, those that aren't here with us, we've prayed for them. For those that are facing the storm here in Florida, Father, we pray that you would be with those people down there, and Father, that you would get glory and honor. But just for a few moments this morning, be with your word as it goes out. Father, be with my mouth, be with my heart, and Father, we pray that you'd use me as a vessel. Be with the hearts of your people that have come. And Father, if there be one here that is lost, that doesn't know you or hasn't made the decision, Father, to accept you as Savior of their life, Father, have asked you to save them. Father, I pray this morning that would happen this morning. Now be with your word and be with everything that takes place. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is writing to this church here. It's his second epistle, really the third, but here it's recorded as the second epistle that he has written. The one before was lost. It was never found. And so here God has retained this one. We have 2 Corinthians. But Paul alludes in his writings that he had written one before this one to him. And so that's why I bring that up. But here in this chapter, we see the truths of the ministry. And I want to draw your attention to just three things here. I want to deal with the glory of God. Now, we preach, we teach about the glory of God, and it seems superficial, but the glory of God is what He actually did for you and I and for the world, was to allow His Son to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Not only did He give His life on the cross, He was buried and He rose the third day. Now, according to history, if you just want to look at secular history, is the only person in history that actually resurrected. And if you just take secular history, not the Word of God, you will find that the evidence of that happening is very high. And there's many of people who had started out as, well, educated into being an atheist or an agnostic and have come to disagree or to argue the point that God didn't exist or Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. And you'll find that they've had a change of mind, especially if they're an honest person. I use that term loosely, honest. But you'll find that there's quite a bit of evidence of Jesus Christ, God's Son, resurrecting from the grave. And our gospel that we preach is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is hinged, it is glued, if you please, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's not Easter and it's not that time of the year. That's already been passed. But the glory of God, it should be compelling to you as a saved person. And there should be some compellingness from God to your heart, even if you're not born again or saved. And so that is what we want to look at this morning, admitting the need for change and accepting the truth of God's Word will lead you to a decision. Now, some of us naturally don't mind making decisions, especially if there's a good and a greater decision to be made. But if the decision is kind of good and then worse, those decisions, we have a hard time making them. So we procrastinate those decisions. This decision here this morning is a spiritual decision, and it's based in time. We're in time, but you can change today. You can change eternity by making a decision today. Most of you, hopefully here, have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've changed your eternal destination. And so you can do that in time. You can do that today. And by accepting the truth of God's Word and having your will to go along with the Word of God, you can come to a decision. Truth becomes reality in your life and in my life through daily yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. This is not something that's done yearly. This is not something that's done when you feel like doing it. Like this morning, you get up, you have to preach. So you better have your message together. You better be prayed up and things working and operating well, because you're going to stand before some people. At probably 99.9% of everybody here is smarter than I am. So that can be intimidating. But there's decisions, and so you stick with those decisions, and the truth is you need to yield to the Holy Spirit daily, not weekly, or when you've got to preach, or when you've got to give a lesson, or when you have to meet that really bad person you don't like at work, and you know you have to work along that person, with that person, and get along with that person, act like everything is okay. It might be a family member. Sometimes you have that. We do have a holiday here. You might have a cookout, and you have a family member that you're going to spend some time with. Hopefully it's not your husband or your wife. Now, come on, I'm thinking a little bit farther out than that. But you might have to get along, like either, like, you know, keep the mouth zipped or smile when you really don't feel like smiling. Maybe staying off the hot topics. Well, the storm will be the topic probably of this weekend, and seeing where that storm goes. Continue to pray for those people, but that will be something you can talk about. Politics, you want to stay away from that. Religion, only if you're schooled and skilled enough, but I would stay away from that. But it's okay to talk about God, the Savior of the world. Hopefully there's compelling evidence inside of you that is compelling to other people. They see it and they want a piece of it also. But let me say this and repeat what I just said. Truth becomes reality in your life through daily yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the teaching and preaching is about here. I don't think I need that. What is about here is that you yield or learn to yield to the Holy Spirit in your daily walk, in your daily conversation. See, I thought it was just maybe when we come to church. No, it's daily. You'll need it daily. You'll find yourself spiritually, even mentally drained if, as a child of God, not yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, not taking in spiritual food. There are three simple things that the glory of God compels you and I to do each day. Let's get into this, but notice with me in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at a few of these verses. Notice with me verses 5 and 6, and we'll see the first one. I want to draw your attention. Let me read verse 18 of chapter 3. If you have your Bible open, you'll notice that in mine, 18, verse 18 of chapter 3 is right there with chapter 4. It's the last verse in chapter 3. And so where we started reading, look at verse 18. We'll back up to verse 18. Watch this. In chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord." Listen, Paul is telling us, he's given us a truth that we are to change. This glory that comes from God is compelling enough to change your life. It is to change you in such a way that other people, whether they're saved or lost, whether you're related to them or not, will want a piece or want this compellingness that comes from God or His glory. So now with that, notice with me in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. He says, "For we preach not ourselves." Oh, I could park there and could preach my next 10 minutes on that right there. So often as Christians, and I'll just keep it to Christians, we preach ourselves. We don't preach Christ. We preach what we want, and we don't preach what God wants. Look in your life, and you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your talents? Is it in the things of God, or is it in me? Me first, minus or me. It's all about me. I know I have a tendency to do that. I know you do. Everybody's looking at me like, I don't do that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all do. We all do. And I would be the first one in that line, not in the back. I'd be in the front. But here he says in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves." Remember that. So you might work a ministry here. One of the questions we might ask you is, do you think that is your ministry? Or do you think it's a ministry of the church that God has given you to work in? And if the wrong answer comes up, this is the verse, one of the verses we look at. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ." That's who we preach. But watch this. "But Christ Jesus, the Lord," is what it says, "and ourselves ye your servants for Jesus' sake." Wow, we're servants. That's our status. That's where he has us here. And this is where the Apostle Paul is trying to get this church to see that we should not be preaching ourselves. Watch verse 6. "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This knowledge that you have comes from the light of the Word of God. This morning, if you were in Sunday school, there was light. There was Scripture given. It was in a doctrinal context, but there was light given. You learned something. Although I might have heard it quite a few times, I still write notes down. I learn something every time we go through the Word of God. Watch this in verse 4. And here I'm going to get to my first point. I'm watching the clock. "And whom the God of this world..." Now notice that if the version is correct, the 1611 version, you'll have a little G-O-D. That does not mean the God of the heaven. The God who created the heavens and the earth. That means the other God. The other God. He comes from below. "In whom the God of this world," he is the God of this world, by the way, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Something you need to remember when you're dealing with a lost person, whether you're related to them or not, they have been blinded purposely from the truth that you have in your heart, or the truth that is expounded from this word. You might be sitting in here this morning and your heart is not accepting, your spiritual eyes of your heart are not accepting the Scriptures. Why is that? It's because the God of this world hath blinded your minds. That's why. It's not just a natural state. There's somebody intended to blind you purposely so you don't see the light of the gospel. It says there, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That is the reason why. These digital things here are... There we go. We got it back. Now I know where I'm going. All right. So in number 5 and number 6, we see we are compelled to serve God. That is our point. We're compelled to serve God. What does James say? Turn with me to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Turn over with me and we'll see what James has to say about our service for God. James chapter 1. All right. James chapter 1. I think I've got some competition going on up here. All right, bear with me. James chapter 1, notice with me in verses 23 down through 25, and we're looking at our first point and what this compelling glory from God compels you and I to do as saved individuals is to serve God. Notice this. See, well, I don't have any compelling nature. I know I'm saved, but I don't want to do anything for God. Well, we might find a remedy for that problem. Watch this, James chapter 1, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, James is a pretty, he's a direct writer. Watch this, if any be a hearer of the word, right now all of us, including myself, would classify as somebody who is listening to the word of God being read, and not a doer. Right now all of us classified as either being a hearer or a doer. See, well, I'm both. I do and I hear. That's good. That's what James is getting to. Watch this. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's a mirror or glass or water, whatever. You can see your reflection. In verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's kind of what happens on Sunday morning for myself. I hear the preaching of the Word of God, I'm convicted. Sometimes I walk forward, get things right, pray about things, and then I go out the doors and I'm worried about what I'm going to eat. I'm worried about what my Monday is going to be like. I worry about who's going to beat the Texans or the Bengals or the Colts, or I don't even know if that's clicking right now. It should be. Is it? Is football started? Yes? No? The training camps? I'll get a fight going here. Training camps or something, okay? So that's coming up. And it's personally why I don't have TV piped in, because I would watch it. I'm a TV fanatic, and Allison says, absolutely not. I watch enough as is. But here, we're looking at this, so we're here in our doer. And James is saying, look, so you walk away from this reflection that you see in the mirror. You see yourself every Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night if you come back, and Wednesday night, then we walk out of here and we forget what type of person or what the Holy Spirit wants to change in our lives. Forget about it. We'll worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, the only time it comes creeping back really nice and really soft, your heart, is when you have sickness or you've got something that majorly has happened in your life that you got a decision you don't know what to make. Oh, I've been there, scared to death. You got like two bad situations you get to pick from, and you're like, which is the worst of the two? That's when your heart is soft to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. God says, and James is saying, it needs to be soft every day. Every day. It should be soft for service. There should be a compelling nature in with the Holy Spirit compelling you to want to serve God in your capacity as God hath given you. All right, watch verse 25 now. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, what is that? That's the Word of God. That's what we're reading. And continueth therein. Notice that there's a continuation. You don't just walk away from the Word of God, but you're going to stay in it and continue in it. He being not a forgetful hearer. Let me ask you this morning. I ask myself. You first. Are you a forgetful hearer? Are you a forgetful hearer of the Word of God? I would qualify. He says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wow. So we should have and should be willing to accept the compelling nature of the Holy Spirit to compel us to serve God. our God. By the way, the God that saved your soul, the one that changed your eternal destination, that gives you a home in heaven, that gives you it gives you an inheritance, the Bible said, that is uncorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Although some of us or somebody might say, well, I can lose it, where the Bible tells you it fadeth not away. It's uncorruptible by man's hands. It's good. That's what you get. And that Savior is asking you, look, would you be willing to do something for me? So James lends some light on that point. Your response to his word should be, this humbles me, this brings peace to me, and this compels me to serve the Lord. Let me compel you this morning that it is worth serving the Lord. You won't work for a better boss. Matter of fact, you don't have to worry about somebody stealing your retirement or anything you build up, because he takes account of it in heaven. And it's eternal. The inheritance package goes with you. It's not just down here, it's up there. He also gives us benefits for here to enjoy, as James described. But let me notice with me quickly in the second point. So we not only are we compelled to serve God, but secondly, we are compelled to know and to yield to the Holy Spirit. Notice with me verses 7. I'm back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice with me in verses 7. We have this treasure, an earthen vessel. This is what you and I live in. This is what you deal with. Notice with me in verse 16. He says, our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man. Paul describes this. The writer knows very well what's going on in a saved person. You have an outward man. This is the manifestation. That's what's what you see. That's what you see. Then you have an inward man. That's what has been renewed by the Spirit of God. And you're his image, you bear his image now upon salvation. So Paul's saying, you got two of you. Watch this in verse 7. But we have this treasure, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow. You see, where does this power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. God's Spirit. Notice with me in verses 18, and we're going to use all these verses eventually. The last verse in chapter 4, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, a lot of us get caught into that trap. We're so worried about the things that we see, the problems that we're going to have to deal with, the decisions that you know you're going to have to make. See, that's the temporal, that's the physical. In verse 18, he's laying it out. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. This is what I'm trying to say this morning. What the Scripture is laying out, what the Apostle Paul is trying to lay out through Scripture is, listen, the things that you can see is not the most important thing in your life. The things that you cannot see, the spiritual things, that's the most important thing, and it's the hardest thing to see. It's the hardest thing for you and I to grasp. And we can only grasp this by the Holy Spirit. And this is our point. We are compelled to know and to yield to the Holy Spirit. But let's finish this verse. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the decisions from the moment of you understanding who you are, maybe the age of accountability, whatever age that is for you, you know, it's kind of, I heard a gentleman say this, look, when you look behind your shoulders and you got your hand in the cookie jar, you're at the age of accountability. You know you shouldn't be stealing that extra cookie or any cookies out of the cookie jar. So that's the age of accountability. So you reach that age and you begin to look, what decisions have you made? Have you made for God? The eternal decisions, not the physical decisions, but the eternal decisions. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is quite important. You're going to have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Notice with me, turn quickly to Romans chapter 6. I'm watching the clock. I got about 3 minutes. Romans chapter 6, and we'll wrap this up. Notice what he says here. Verses 13, Romans 6, 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's read on, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But he's really clarifying some things here. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, that's the temporal. That's what you have to face in the physical world. That's what we all have to face. Don't let it surprise you. We live on a graveyard. But verse, last part of 16, or obedience unto righteousness. That's the eternal. So my question is, have you yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it didn't have to be at the altar, although we'll have an invitation time, but you can sit right there. You can be in your car. You can be in your bed. You can be in a number of places and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Listen, there should be some compelling in your life to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit in the working of it. We can yield to unrighteousness, or we can yield our lives to follow God. Unrighteousness, or we can yield our lives to follow after God. The glory of God compels us to yield to the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. That's how it's done. We blame our failures in life on a lack of discipline, when you boil that argument down. But really, it's a lack of devotion. It's a lack of devotion to God. It's a lack of yielding ourselves to God, to the Word of God, to the work of God, and to the ways of God. We simply just don't want to yield. We don't want that. We want the temporal. And so with the temporal, guess what comes? Things like this. It's not a perfect world. You're going to have all the things that go with life. And so when you focus on that, that's what you're going to focus on. I know this about people and about life. I'm just 42. Everyone in here has had a problem or is having a problem, or you're going to have a problem. That's just part of it. And for a few moments this morning, I know I'm done, I'll wind this up, is you have decisions. You're either going to go on the physical side of things or the spiritual side of things. Paul is gently urging these saved people to go and yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. Listen, we are compelled to glorify God. We are compelled to glorify God. God's glory changes us, and it compels us to want others to know Christ. When others see His glory in us, they are compelled to glorify God. Let me give you a verse, Matthew. I think I marked this here. Let me flip over there, and I'll read it to you. He says, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is what it's about. Glorifying God to a point to where people that don't even know God see God through in you, and you see the glory of God being exhibited through your life. But you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to be a servant of Christ. So the compelling glory of God, does it compel you this morning? Let's stand. Let's stand. I've got some more remarks as we stand and as the pianist and the song leader comes forward and prepares our song. Let me say this. God, through His Spirit and by His Word, brings change if you allow it. If you've noticed, the verses that we've read this morning are what is called self-imposing. You have the decision whether you want to yield to the things of God and the Holy Spirit and the service of God, or you choose not to, as James says, and you can just be a hearer, and you can walk out the doors and worry about what you're going to eat for lunch. I still don't know what I'm going to eat for lunch, but I'll find out. But you can easily be a doer. It's just as easily as being a doer, but you have to yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you some questions as the pianist begins to play. When was the last time you or I allowed God's Word to change me? Or change yourself? Man, I don't know when it was. Some of you might just go straight back to salvation and say, that's when God changed my life. Is it salvation? How about this? When was the last time I allowed God to renew peace and joy in my life? You know, to accept that peace and joy that comes from God, you have to yield to God. You'll have communion with God. God, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of what You've given me. And I thank You for the peace and joy that You've given me, maybe with a decision that you have, maybe a problem, maybe a sickness, maybe whatever it might be. But God can give it to you, but you have to yield. When was the last time you yielded yourself to serve Christ? That's ultimately where it goes. That is ultimately God's love language. Service. He likes service from His people. There's a lot to do around here. There's a lot that's getting ready to happen in Florida that we can help with, to show God's glory through our life. But guess what? It's self-imposing. It's on us. It's on me. It's on you to make that decision. God wants you to be changed into the likeness of Him. Why? He wants your life to be a testimony of His power, of His peace, and of His joy that only God can give. But it's your decision this morning. I want every head bowed, if you would please, every eye, just begin to pray about what you want God to change in your life, or what you're willing to, maybe to, as the word we used this morning, yield to the Holy Spirit, and to think. Those are the questions that I ask you. Not to raise your hand, you don't have to come forward. You stay right where you're at, be comfortable right where you're at. But you do business with God, because God wants more glory than He's getting out of you. He wants to exhibit His glory through your life. They say, but man, I don't have much to give. But you have just enough. You have just enough of what He wants. He wants you to yield to His Holy Spirit.